Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
JB Weld. Today's podcast brought to you by JB Weld, world's strongest bond. The brand DIYers and pros have trusted for over 50 years. You got to keep it in your cupboard, your toolbox, your garage. Available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, wherever you find finer products. Proudly made in the U.S. of A.
Well, exciting race fans. We got the big Trans Am 1 Laguna Seca recap. Lots went wrong on that trip. Got that. We got the news coming. First, there's Geico.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and I'd like to invite all of you to subscribe to the Dr. Drew podcast. We are very proud of what we're doing there at that podcast. I am interviewing some of the most interesting, well, people you could ever want to talk to. Just whatever I find fascinating, whether it's a smart person or an expert in a field that I'm interested in, or maybe I'm not even interested in, I'm only interested because I've heard them speak and become intrigued, I think you'll be intrigued as well. We get deep into topics that are quite important to the current age. Things like cognitive dissonance, cognitive distortions, how does our mind work? We talk about everything at the Dr. Drew podcast that is of real relevance. We get all the way into deep physics and all sorts of stuff. But trust me, it's all very accessible. It's very interesting. Headaches, if you're even interested in learning about headaches, we get there. We go to the interesting topics of the day. Please join us at the Dr. Drew podcast.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, David Mamet, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, reminding you, coffee's for closers. And if it's a flavored coffee, you can take the C off the front of closers. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. The church will get on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grant?
That's right.
Handball, Brian?
You're running it too hot!
David Mamet's going to come in for a one-on-one in the second hour. Glengarry Glen Ross, of course, American Buffalo, every film ever.
Theater Gina is freaking the fuck out right now.
I loved The Edge with Baldwin.
Oh yeah,
all those years ago. I think he directed. He directed a lot of stuff too. Anyway,
Famous Daughter,
Spanish Prisoner.
We'll get to that. An auspicious weekend of racing for the Ace Man.
Tell us everything.
Got off to a little bit of a bumpy start because as I was finishing my fifth podcast on a Wednesday last week, trying to get out of here. Try to get the wheels up about 4:35 p.m. I noticed at the end of not the last 20 minutes of my Reasonable Doubt podcast, my voice started to go out, and it was just leaving. And so what ended up happening is by the time I got into the car and we were heading for Laguna Seca, I'd pretty much lost my voice. Now, that's good to a lot of people around me. I will concede that. But the problem is when it's gone, it's gone. And I found myself, there's no louder place than the racetrack because they're like firing up cars around you the whole time. And the head mechanic is like leaning in and he's going, you put the earbuds in and then we got the ear cups and then the volume on the radio is over here. And then I'm like, what channel's it on? And he's like, what? What? He doesn't understand my voice is gone. And I have to pretty much mount him to get him to hear anything I'm saying. And I can't hear anything I'm saying. And I'm supposed to talk into the radio and stuff too. And nobody can understand me. So the thing that was hanging out the cloud over our head was literally a cloud over our head, which is it's going to rain. It's going to rain some over the weekend. Nobody's quite sure. It's going to rain some Thursday. It's going to rain some Friday. And then it's going to be nice on Saturday for the Trans Am race.
This sounds like me trying to plan my period in advance.
Yes. Yes.
Very and difficult.
I had some spotting.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
Uh-oh.
If it was going to be a heavy flow day. So it was, I was due to get into the car for the first time on Thursday. And my run group was going off at 2:15. Now, there was always clouds. There were some sprinkles in the morning, maybe showers in the late afternoon. But the whole idea was, can we get out there on that on a dry track? Because there are two types of tires in racing. They have slicks. That's when it's nice and dry. And they have rain tires. They call wets. They have the grooves in them. Now, people always say, how come there's not more traction of the ones with the grooves in them? That's just less contact that you have. If the slick is big, and it's big, it's, you know, 14, 16 inches wide, and you have a groove cut into it every 3/4 of an inch, well, if pure slick, you'll get 16 inches worth of rubber on the ground. You back out the 3/16, 1/8 of an inch worth of groove times 10, 20 grooves, now you're down to a 12 and a half inches of actual planted rubber on the ground. So nobody. But you can watch movies like Rush, I think. There's a point where it's like, is Jody Scheckter coming in? He's coming in. He's getting on. He's staying out on slicks. He's staying out. There's a lot of strategy. Okay. Staying out, coming in. You're definitely faster on the slicks, but if it starts raining, then you're totally fucked. And sometimes it's a little wet on one part of the track, but not on another part of the track.
And hedge your bets.
You're trying to hedge. Like, is he coming in and getting on to wets? Because if you're on wets and it's raining and everyone else is on slicks, you're going to drive right past everyone. But if it's not raining, you're on wets. They're driving past you. So it's a lot of what do we do? Now, we don't come in and do a tire change. We just either go out on wets or go out on slicks. But it was dry the whole day. So we went out on slicks. Now, the car is a beast, and it's got 900 horsepower, and it will light up the rear slicks regardless of whether it's wet or not. If you're in first or second gear and you stomp on it, it's a Camaro.
We're looking at your car?
Yeah.
You, I assume?
Yes, we're looking at me driving a tube-frame Ferrari. Sorry, tube-frame Camaro. Little difference. Now, so it's like, all right, so you get in the car, you get in the car about a half hour before you pull out onto the hot pit, the grid, whatever we're calling it. And you just get buckled in your six-way harness, and you get your radio hooked up, and you get your air hose hooked up, and you get your net put up, and you're just there. Now you're just there. One thing that I forgot about the first time I got in the car, which is a weird one, which is at a certain point, it's like, all right, we're getting in the car. We're going to pull out. So I get in the car, and I always do things in order. I do the helmet and the Hans device, which is that yoke thing that goes around your neck that they put under the shoulder straps, and it attaches to your helmet so your head doesn't – you don't break your neck, essentially. And get in, fuss with the lap belts, fuss with the shoulders.
Split the balls.
Split the balls with the submarine in between the legs belt. The shoulders you can tighten up when you're out on the track. You can just reach down and just pull them, pull
like
them
down. Like a backpack strap.
Yeah, the lap belt's hard to get to. That's kind of tucked up. So there's always the semi-gay dance of the straightest guy in the world who's like the pit guy or the whatever guy. He's reaching in your crotch and he's vigorously trying to get things plugged in and stuff. And then he's kind of snugging them down. He's pulling on them, you know, tightening. And for me, the last thing that goes on for me, and I sometimes don't even put it on until we get out to the grid, is my gloves. The gloves are thickish. They have some contact on them, so you can kind of get some grip. They're not farmer's gloves, but they're fireproof. They're big, you know. And so I'm sitting there in the car, and I put my left hand on, and I go to put my right one on, and I can't straighten my two fingers.
You had mentioned that might be an issue.
Yeah, the last time I did it was about a year ago, and I was just kind of standing outside the car, and I could kind of work it. I wasn't really under the time constraint.
So for people who aren't totally sure what we're talking about, two of your pinky and your ring finger on both hands are not – you cannot straighten them anymore.
No. And there's also a question of – I'm not sure how the gear shift is going to work exactly, but I figured out that my fingers are bent actually the direction I want them to go.
Born to race.
And I'll get back onto the steering wheel. But my hands are giving me difficulty. So there's a little – I don't want to say anything. I don't want to cause a fuss. I don't want anyone coming around wondering if I can do this or not. I think I can do it. I'll just go around the track. So,
and that's how Hook's crawling.
That's right. JJ Arms. So I start trying to put my glove on, and two fingers are going into the one hole, and the one, and I can't get it. I got three in. I can't get the two. They're bending down. They're bending toward my palm, and they're not. And so I'm just sitting in the car, and I got the guy with the radio headset on, and we're sitting in the paddock, and everyone's fired up the engines and everything. And I'm like sticking my right hand out of the window. Now he's on the left. I wish it was my left hand, but I'm sticking my right. I'm folding in front of me, just sticking. All he's seeing is like my palm and a glove not really on it. And he's kind of looking at me, and I'm like, help it. Help
like,
it out.
What the fuck? The car race is ready to go.
My mittens.
You put your fucking mitt on.
And he's like, straighten your shit out. You know, and it's going in the same hole. And I can't hear him. I can't talk. My voice is shot. So
I keep a great comedy of errors.
I keep shoving my hand at him, and he's standing outside the car now, and he's like trying to wiggle the finger in and wiggling, and everyone else is leaving for the hot grid. And I'm like, he's got one, and then one's tucked. I could feel one's tucked into the same hole again, and I'm like pulling it out. I keep shot. Now I can only get it about 4 inches out the window because I can't move my arm all the way across. And he doesn't really know what's going on because we didn't really discuss this. And I didn't really learn it until I sat in the car.
And I think if you screamed Dupendrins, that wouldn't have helped.
No. So not that I could use my voice. So then he was like caught on, and he was working as hard as he could. Got the glove on. Got out to the hot pit, and now you're just sitting there. You just sit and you wait. And at some point, but I'm looking, there's clouds everywhere, but it's not raining. There's a lot of clouds, but the track's dry.
Okay.
And you see the guy, the woman, she'll hold a big sign up, says five. That's 5 minutes.
Says Takate.
5 minutes. Yeah, she's in a bikini. So it's a
goddamn.
We're going in five. So she holds the five up. I'm like, okay. Then I start seeing the first drops hitting the windshield.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's no windshield wipers, and it's just beating up on the windshield, but it's just barely. Just kind of barely.
You don't have windshield wipers.
No.
She's got the Trico blades.
Yeah. Should have. Now you can see from the picture here, you'll see some drops just starting to beat up, and ominous clouds, but unsure if the track's wet. Now, remember, we're down at the bottom of the track.
I love your name spelling.
Yeah, my name is misspelled on the readout. At the top of the track, you're up 700 feet up at the corkscrew. Could be raining over there.
Right.
I don't know. Oh. I just know where we are, there's little drops hitting the window. And remember, all you have to do with that car is punch the accelerator once, and the rear tires will just light up. And if it's wet, you're not going anywhere. Yeah. You have no grip whatsoever.
And nobody at this point decided to do rain tires.
At this point, we're either going now, or not, because by the time we get back in and change the tires and stuff,
but I mean other people's cars.
No, everyone's just sitting there, and then there's a little discussion, like, are we going or are we not going? Because the people, the track officials, are outside the car and they're feeling little raindrops coming down. But is it gonna rain, or is that just a couple of droplets? Yeah. So,
do they treat the windshields of some kind of Scotch guard or? You know what I mean? In case something splashes on you or rain on you.
They have like a Rain-X thing you could put on there that would wick it away.
That's for pussies.
But I'm not sure. And it's also not quite like your family car. So if there's different pressure points on the windshield because there's low pressure points or trying to get induction into the engine and stuff like that. So it's not just like wind hitting your windshield. Okay. But it's also if you had a windshield wiper, you would flick it. it would clear the windshield, and then you could see if there was more rain.
Uh-huh.
But I can't see if... So we get going. I think we just get... we'll just get trotting around the track a little. So now it's a little wet. I've never driven the car before.
Oh.
And the windshield has water on it, but I don't know what that means. I don't know if it means it's raining or drizzling. The hardest part.
Oh.
There he goes. Oh, broke 100.
But the track is wet, or might be wet, or there's still a bunch of droplets on the window that you'll see is when you go around, scared to get into it because the car will just flip around. It'll just swap ends on you. So this is just the beginning. It's just the parade. Not parade, but it's just like try to get
your bearings,
heat into the tires. And see if it's going to be raining up at the top of the hill or not raining or... It's not my car. I don't want to fuck it up. So you can see that I'm seeing water drops move around on my windshield, but I... And lots of black clouds.
Dark clouds, yeah.
Unclear whether the track is wet or not. So you can see a lot of water moving around. We'll put this up at our YouTube page, adamcarolla.com/YouTube. But all right, so that was Thursday session. So we get out, they bring us in, get out of the car, and I was like, I didn't really get into it because I just was staring at droplets on the windshield the entire time, wondering
what it meant,
what was going on with this behemoth.
Yeah.
That'll just we'll come around the straight and you'll see in first gear it'll just light up the rear tire. So you go around in first gear.
Oh,
stay on the track. Damn.
All right.
There he goes.
So get out of the car and there's a telemetry. This is kind of interesting. They have a whole semi-truck dedicated to telemetry, all the information, and I won't even be able to scratch the surface of it, but, and it's something I didn't have the last time I did the race, but it's really cool, which is you get out of the car and they have everything's up on two computer screens and there's a guy running it and they have the one camera's on you, the driver, and the other camera's the one that's going straight mm-hmm. ahead down the track. It's got your RPMs. It's got your speed. It's got G-force. It's got brake pedal pressure. Like you're not braking hard enough. You need to be more aggressive.
Advanced metrics.
Yeah.
They put you next to your teammate, and they'll go, see here, turn three, he's doing 71 miles an hour. You're doing 58 miles an hour coming out of this. You got a lot to pick up here, or coming down after the corkscrew, he's doing 90, you're doing 77. You know, you can pick it up. You can pick it up here. Now, I don't know if I can pick it up or not pick it up without this information, because I don't know if the car is just going to slide off the track.
Right.
It feels like
true.
It's going to break. The whole thing is like you're turning. It's pulling you. And at some point it breaks. And when it breaks, it just goes. But these guys know when it's going to break. And I don't know when that car is going to break loose. But you go to the telemetry, and it's like, here's how many RPMs, and here's the brake pressure, and here's the speed, here's your tire temps, here's the G-force, here's what you're doing in this part of the track. You know, my teammate, Ken, who's a professional driver, is a team owner, they're like, through turn four, you're only 8/10 of a second off of his time. So I'm like, well, that's good. And then you lose a bunch of time after turn four. So you need to pick it up on turn four. It's like side by side, yeah, where you yeah. are on the track, where they're on the track. You can overlay your racing line, like show like a top view of wow. your line yeah, you're yeah. driving
versus
through.
The ideal.
And versus the ideal versus here's what your teammate's line wow. is through the same thing. It's, you know, it's a little humbling because it's
bad for bad students.
it's essentially like, yeah, being called. It's like a radio air check 10 minutes after you sign off. You know, you're just sitting there.
Never good.
Except for the difference between that and this is that you're learning nothing other than to hate your program director. This is like, oh, I could pick it up here and I could break harder there and what gear and short shift and blah, 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 blah. So I learned a lot and I turned a very slow lap time of 1:38. 1:38 is fast around that track, but not in this car. This car, you want to be down in like the 1:28. That's what my Ken, my running mate was. He was full 10 seconds.
Okay.
So there were like, I think you could get 4 seconds out of this. And of course, I was like, the rain, the rain. I didn't know what was going on with the windshield. I thought it was wet out there. I was taking it easy. And they're like, all right. So, but what's it going to do Friday when we get back into the car at noon, 12:30? No. I think we're getting back in the car at 2:15 start. Now we're going out again Friday. So you check the weather report. Oh, it's going to rain all Thursday night, but then it's supposed to be nice on Friday. And sure enough, we get there Friday morning. And well, I'll show you a little bit of the beginning of something we were cutting together. It had poured all night. You can get to the long one, Chris. You know, it had poured and poured buckets all night. There was big puddles everywhere, but the track was pretty dry, and we weren't going back out for a couple hours. And I was like, all right, well, the skies look pretty good. You can see
that's wet
footage of how hard it rained and how big everything was puddling up through the infield and all the cars.
That's very, very wet.
It's very, very wet Friday morning. But by Friday at noon, it had dried up and it stopped raining and everything appeared to be fine.
Or did it?
Or did it. So we went out Friday and it was dry. And I looked at the telemetry stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
And I was like, I think I can start getting back into this. I can start trying to push on this car a little bit and see what it'll do. I mean, like I said, 1:38, that's embarrassingly slow. Maybe I can get it down to 1:32, 1:33, which is still slow enough, but I can take 4 or 5 seconds off of this, especially if I'm a little more familiar with the car and I think it's dry out there. So we went out and I'll show you now. What you're seeing here is a lot of water by the side of the track, which I didn't – that's going to come into play in a few minutes, which is the track was dry. You can stop it there, Chris. The track was dry, but turn three had a little stream going across it.
Oh, dear.
There was just water. It rained so hard that – water had built up by the side of the track. Now, the side of the track is normally dirt, and you can do what they call hang a tire. You can get a tire into that dirt. It'll throw you off a little bit, and you'll keep going. You'll be fine most of the time if you do what they call hang a tire. But this ain't hang a tire in the dirt. This is hang a tire in a lake, which is not something I'd ever experienced. And it never rained anytime. Right. All the millions of times I've run on that track, it's always been in August and bone dry. But if you go back a little, well, I'll show you. All right, I'll just show you the lap before the incident. And you can kind of see what one sporty lap looks like on this track. Now
this is how it's supposed to be?
This is how it's supposed to be. So you get up to 1:45 at the end of the straight. Now, the other guy's getting up to 1:52. I'm still kind of feeling my way around the track. You go real slow around turn two, then you get into it. Now, you see there's water right there.
Yep, there's ponds everywhere.
Yeah, off the track, there's ponds. On the water, it's just a slight stream going by. You turn through turn four. You head into turn. You get to like 135 going into this left-hander up the hill. You can see it's beautiful.
Oh, oh yeah. It's picturesque. Looks like a video game.
Yeah, it's funny. People have seen so many video games now that everything looks like a video game.
It's almost as good as a video game.
Almost.
There we go.
Get to 131 at the top of the corkscrew. I couldn't see over the dash, but you have to aim for the split tree in the middle, and then you get back down.
That is analog.
Ironically, yeah, advertising WeatherTech.
Yeah. So you go all the way around, and you get back into first gear at the end of the straightaway, and then you go right back all the way. You mow right through into fifth gear. Kind of Porsche dive bombing.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah. Well, here's where it gets a little hairy when you're coming over the hill at 140 miles an hour, and you're next to the person. But that guy was real good. These guys are professional racers. They drive these cars all day long. So I was starting to get back, starting to get into it.
Yeah, good.
I turned a 131.
All right.
Which took seven seconds. Took 7 seconds off. It's still.
They're hoping for 4 or 5. Hmm? Right? They're hoping for 4 or 5.
They're hoping for 4. So nice. I got 7 off, and I'm kind of a quick study. I start real slow, and then I kind of build it up. So I was thinking to myself, you know, I think by the time we go out and qualify this afternoon, I might get it down to like a 129 or something, and then I'll be kind of in the mix, kind of respectable. And also, the track still had that stream going across it in the middle of turn three. So you got to figure that's worth a second. You get rid of the stream and everyone's going to pick up a second. So I'm going to get to the 130 mark minus the stream. But and I've never seen that where it stopped raining 5 hours ago, but it's just this steady stream was just floating across the track with a big lake.
Feels like fixable.
Yeah.
Right?
It does.
Maybe a couple of sandbags.
And they would have done it probably for the race, but maybe not for qualifying. It's a little bit weird. A lot of guys were having trouble there over the weekend. A few guys got off the track there. And
it was one of those from management. Yeah, everybody's been saying that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We get that a lot.
Well, I ended up getting off the track there as well. And it wasn't. All right. So what ended up happening is I hit the water. The car shimmied a little, started to skate a little. Now, what you don't want to do is yank on the wheel and try to fix it.
Because it'll overcorrect.
You'll
itself.
Just spin out.
Just let go.
Right. I was just like,
let God.
I'm just gonna track out here. I'm just gonna go a little wider. I'm not gonna fight it. I'm just gonna go a little wider. I'll hang a couple tires into the dirt. I do that all the time. But I forgot that the dirt wasn't dirt. The dirt was a lake. So here's what happened. So we're coming over the top of the hill, coming down into turn.
Foreboding clouds.
Foreboding clouds. Got a Porsche in front of me that's fast. Turning right. Go through the water. Skate.
Oh,
a little there. Hang the tire.
Oh, there it is. Don't hang the tire.
Hung it into the lake.
Oh.
Big
busted up the butt.
Big hit. Big hit in the back. And the scary part is when people buzz by you.
And you're fogging up. You can't see what's coming at you.
We'll go through the water there. Oh, so the water was right in the middle of the turn. Drove through the water. Got a little bit loose. Hung it into this lake.
Don't hang the tire.
Hung the tire into what would have just been dirt, but it was a lake. And tried to track it, and it just kicked me back onto the track.
The scariest part is not the bump, but when right here,
crash.
After this, when it's the exhaust, I assume, starts to fog up your window, you're like, I don't know what's coming. Hope it's something good.
Yeah.
This is me
slow.
Driving the car. Now I'm disgusted with myself.
Thank you, Hans device.
Hey, you got your gloves on.
Disgusted. Oh, embarrassed and disgusted.
So that's that.
It jacked up the back of the car. It's pretty fixable, but not on the weekend. Someone's going to have to do some welding in order to get that. They have their welding rig. You can see what the back of the car looks like. Yeah. And, of course, everybody's got to come by and take a look at the remains.
Tough break, Ace Man.
Yeah, wow, everyone comes by. What happened out there?
What'd you do?
Yeah, oh boy. And then they look at the car and they go, oh boy, that's bad. And then
thank you.
And here we are. But it was fun.
Did you have a good time?
I did. Okay. In my own weird way. I missed the race. I would have loved to make the race. Obviously, I couldn't get the car back together in that period of time.
Did you go to watch the race?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the race was.
You didn't just brood and destroy your hotel room?
The race was great. No, I got out of the car. I was, I don't know what I was about it. I was sort of philosophical about it. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to crack a beer and we're going out to dinner tonight. And it was good. We went down to a 17-mile drive the next day, which is spectacular. $11 to get in, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. They charge you to go drive on a California highway.
What?
Yeah.
Well, that's a toll road.
Yeah, and I love that it's $11.25 because that's the we thought about this
right.
move.
Wait, I've done the drive up the coast. This doesn't ring a bell. I don't remember paying for anything.
I think it's newish. It's a COVID thing.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
Okay, that was beforehand.
You gotta pay. So
wow.
Brutal.
We everyone was nice. They understood all the water was on turn three. They dealt with it. I didn't deal with it, but I hung that tire on that lake, and that's on me.
Question, you kind of just answered it, but I don't mean to pile on. I'm just trying to understand everything. So was it just muscle memory? Like, this is the place where I hang a tire when you know that seeing what you saw in front of you, that would not be a good place for that today.
Yeah, I just went, it's wet and I'm kind of sliding. And if I try to pull it, I think I'm going around, which I should have done. Would have been a much better outcome. But instead, I can just track out and hang the tire, and then I can go through. Now, I'm not even sure what water does. I'm going straight. Like, maybe I can just make it through this. But I wasn't even really thinking about the lake bite. I was just sort of used to hanging it there for the dirt. Which, like I said, it's kind of commonplace to hang a tire there. But
you did it. You'll do it again.
Yes. It jacked me up. I was fine. I just felt bad. Felt embarrassed.
So whose car is it and what kind of conversation is that going to be?
It was started off in a cordial way. you get to go right back to the telemetry semi and watch yourself wreck the car.
That's nice.
See, here's where it all went wrong.
They start pulling stuff off the car. You know, the rear clip was destroyed. The fiberglass and everything. That was all. The bodywork was, it's all fiberglass. That was dust in the wind. Then they start seeing, is the frame bent? What did it do to the suspension? Did blah, blah, blah. And it just kind of looks like the very rear clip where the fuel tank, or I should say the fuel cell goes, was bent. And they'll clip it off and just weld on a new whatever. Shouldn't be that much parts, labor. Shouldn't be too much. But I told them I would be responsible for it. But force majeure, act of God.
Weather.
That corner was wet, man.
How many other racers that happened to?
Nobody in.
Gina, text
now,
me
hold on a second.
Yep.
Many people throughout the day. But not in my run group. Uh-huh. There were probably, they had Trans Am 2, they had TA1, which was my run group. There were probably, in TA1 and whatever other group that ran with us, there's probably about, 13, 17 cars that are out there. It happened to some of the vintage guys. It happened to a guy in an Audi supercar. It happened to a few people over the course of the week, but also timing, because not everyone was running during that time. Some may have run later or the next day or whatever it is. But my group obviously knew that track, understood the dynamics and the wet and the rain, and They figured it out. I did not.
How does it work? Do they invite you back potentially? Do you, is it,
are you shunned?
I don't think we even know how you got into this thing aside from, you know, being the car guy.
Yeah,
Matt DeAndre's out there always trying to kick some tires, pardon the pun, and, you know, see if anyone wants to do it. And the guys were all like, they're very nice. They're all guys all the tracks. Like, you can drive this car. You can drive these cars. You just have to, you have to come down and get a test day in so you can figure out a lot of the stuff, like the telemetry stuff. Like, if you get in and get a test day, then you'll figure out a lot of the stuff, and then you can go out there instead of having the race day be a test day.
Well, that's stupid that you're missing so much information if you don't do the telemetry.
Yeah, the telemetry is awesome, but you'd want to theoretically do it midweek before the race weekend. All right. So we still had a good time. Sonny got on his bike, went in circles for a thousand times.
Oh, so romantic.
We went down to a 17-mile drive.
Look how happy you look.
Yeah, we had
No, he's just squinting.
We had a good weekend. Went out to dinner with Willie T. Ribs.
How was that?
3 hours worth of him telling stories that can't be repeated on the air. And a good time. And also Willie showed up at the track after the crash and he's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I don't know, the car's busted up for the I'm gonna find you another car." I go, "What do you find? Some of these guys brought extra cars. Let me go get you a car." I go, "Willie, I don't know. I don't want to crash anyone else's car. I'll get you a car. You're a racer." Kept yelling at me.
Racer.
We'll go get another car. Yeah. I was like, "Willie, don't get another
Willie's
car.
Willie's got a can-do attitude."
Yeah. Yeah, so we had fun. It was beautiful. The vintage guys were all there. It was all in all a good weekend.
Good.
And, you know, at least I crashed a car where they had these weird weather conditions on one goddamn corner. All right, let me tell you about blindsgalore.com. They got a huge sale starting this week. Everything is up to 50% off. It's a great time to buy new blinds or shades with Blinds Galore. Blinds Galore. .com believes you deserve high quality custom blinds and shades, shutters and drapes. Everything Blinds Galore creates is 100% custom. Nothing gets made until you order it. Order it. Designer product without the designer price. Don't bother with the store. Do everything right from home. Their expert team is happy to help every step of the way, online or over the phone. Blinds Galore will even set you up with free samples and free shipping and top free expertise as well. They know what they're doing. Family owned and run for over 20 years. It is Blinds Galore, right, Dawson?
Whether you need more privacy to sleep in or just fix up a room, Blinds Galore is just what you're looking for. Order 15 free samples today to get started on blindsgalore.com and let them know that Adam sent you. That's blindsgalore.com.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Meet news with Gina. Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
I'm getting some breaking news literally right now since we started recording, a half hour ago. It's official. Twitter's board has accepted billionaire Elon Musk's offer to buy Twitter and take it private, according to the company. The announcement ends a weeks-long saga Musk kicked off when he offered to buy the company for about $54.20 a share that he said was his best and final offer. This is all from CNBC. I'm just reading it off the screen here. Twitter's board sought to fend off this hostile takeover by adopting a so-called poison pill, but they said, oh, screw it, take it, and that's going to be a $44 billion deal. Now, Musk has hundreds of billions of dollars, but he's not liquid, so he probably had to move a couple things around.
Yeah, he raised the money.
Yeah.
I mean, he got other people.
Right.
I think he raised it. I don't know if it was all his money.
He didn't write a check.
Right.
And now we'll see what kind of changes come in the very near future.
Yeah, well, we have a bizarre relationship with Elon Musk in this society. We love him, and the space thing is great, and the electric cars are all great. Then he gets a little erratic. Then he wants to buy Twitter.
Didn't he accuse the one guy of being a child molester and wanted to rescue the kids?
Yeah, yes. In Thailand, maybe? Yeah.
But there was a lawsuit, and I don't know if anything became
of
that.
That's all I remember.
Yeah.
I think the guy, the kids were trapped in a cave in Thailand.
Oh, one documentary is awesome.
Was trying to get a semi-submersible to go get them. Elon wanted to like send one of his submarines over or something. The guy told him to pound sand.
His ego
and then
was
he called him a pedophile. Yeah. And I don't. And then there was a lawsuit, but I don't know what that lawsuit was.
That's probably exactly how it ended. Let's just make this go away. I'll make it worth your while to just not bring it up anymore.
I don't know. I don't know what he's basing his pedophile on.
He was pissed that they didn't want his little floaty device.
Yeah, well, that usually garners a douchebag or something. Pedophile runs a little deeper. Now, he was saving kids, maybe just to molest them.
The spoils of his labor.
Right, more for me.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
If you guys saw
the documentary, it was awesome. Mm-hmm. The Rescue on Nat Geo, which is part of Disney Plus. If you have Disney Plus, you can watch it. It's really great. And it would have seemed like a submersible would not have worked because they are tight turns.
Right.
The guy's like squeezed through.
Right.
So maybe that's where the no thanks came from.
Yeah. Elon won the defamation case.
So he is a child molester?
Oh, the rich get richer.
I don't know. I mean, Chris can look into it. I suspect he just wants to bring back a little more of the freedom that we all were promised with Twitter. And I think that's what it's going to do. It's not going to be an issue. We'll move on.
All anybody wants is an edit button. So I think that's as long as they get their precious edit button, everything will be fine. Mm-hmm. So this happened a few days ago, as everyone knows, but there is no way in hell we are not talking about it. The other punch heard around the world happened over the weekend when
Tyson.
Mike Tyson beat the shit out of this annoying dude behind him.
Sonny was delighted by this.
It's so great. Apparently the guy who got his ass kicked has a rap sheet. So he's no stranger to trouble. Melvin Townsend III has been convicted of fraud and grand theft, burglary, possession of controlled substances, and trafficking in stolen property. He's 36. He was incarcerated for 20 months in 2009.
This is street justice in the air.
That's right. Again in 2019 for 15 months. Tyson was filmed just beating this guy on a JetBlue flight from San Francisco to Miami last Thursday. The man and his companion, who shot the video that we'll watch, were reportedly harassing Tyson and annoying him.
His friend shot the video?
Oh, yeah. Oh, the friend's commenting through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Police have not pressed charges, though Townsend's lawyer argues that Tyson should have just contacted a flight attendant.
Yeah.
Here's a clip. This is from TMZ, but it's like it was on TikTok or whatever, and it's like a bunch of clips edited together. So here's it's like a minute long.
Mike Tyson, bro. This shit crazy, bro. Mike Tyson.
He's standing above him.
Showing his friend, annoying him.
Man, he over here rapping with Tyson.
Tyson's a super friendly guy until he's not.
Right, sure.
You don't know how to act.
He's like an alligator.
Tyson looking out.
Pretty docile. Doesn't move much. Yeah. And then he moves.
You gave his money.
Peasants. Calling him a peasant because he's flying commercial, I guess. And then here it comes.
Tyson
on over the
feet,
seat.
Throwing rights.
And then checking this guy out.
Mint flight.
Howdy face.
Beat up by Mike Tyson. Turn that way.
Seeing some open wounds.
Got some ring marks on his forehead.
This guy's just a clown. Like, he's still... Like, he must be wasted.
Did he Was that uploaded to TikTok,
I
assume?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not, you know... I got room, you know, for the family with the 2-year-old who won't keep the mask on and they get thrown off the flight and then they get on some no-fly list or something. I got a lot of sympathy for those people. I don't have any sympathy for this guy can take the fucking bus for the rest of his life. He's just
fine.
He has gone outside of the social contract. He's proven himself a person who's not worthy of flight.
Are you saying he fucked around and found out?
That's exactly right.
That's
what happened. Yeah. Let's talk about something that I think you'll be very happy about, because you know how we've talked about, you know, the wife gets, what, $1,000 for a wedding dress, and then every, what, 10 pounds she gains, what happens?
Let's see. I got to look it up in one of my books. It's, you get $1,000. That's your base for a wedding dress.
And then every like you have 100 you go over, you have to stay that weight.
You have to fit into it for a year after the wedding. So but, if you want to go another 1,000, we got a decade of you trying to squeeze your fat ass into that dress.
Got it. And what's the equal and opposite one for men in the police academy?
Oh, that's, you get one bulletproof vest.
Okay.
When you leave the academy at 167 pounds. And if you balloon up to 275, there's going to be a lot of you to shoot hanging outside that vest.
Well, somebody took you up on that.
Hmm.
A new controversial policy is forcing officers to slim down or face consequences. This is out of Texas. KHOU, I imagine it's out of Houston, News in Texas reports that cops will need to lose weight by the end of the year or face disciplinary action. According to documents obtained by the Dallas Morning News, men with waist sizes over 40 inches and women with sizes over 35 inches will now have to track and share their weight loss efforts. Officers who don't trim down by December can be denied promotions, overtime, even removed completely. If the documents, it's designed to keep good health, physical fitness for officers. But those who don't slim down, despite passing all their physical fitness tests, could be disciplined still. The police, the policy applies to 4,000 total officers, and this includes state troopers. This includes the Operation Lone Star guys that are doing the border mission.
Well, look, it's part of the gig. I mean, it's sort of like being a Hooters waitress. You know what I mean? You knew the job was dangerous when you took it. I mean, that's what it is. You want to. You know, maybe if you're air traffic controller, we don't care so much. But if you're chasing...
If you're a rocket or a cop?
How are you going to slide across the hood and yell, no time for backup, when you can't get up over the fender?
Right.
You're going to dent that hood.
Mm-hmm.
You're already winded.
Yeah, and look, as much as everyone hates this shit, whether it's a kid or a cop, it is for you.
Right.
It is your health that we're talking about. You're out there, you're exposed to COVID and God knows what else. Lose the weight.
Or even just like a foot... foot chase.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. they listen to you. Bill Murray, beloved. Everybody loves him. He pops up in people's wedding pictures and random stuff, mm-hmm. and everyone's a fan. But, like, apparently there's a little bit of an open Hollywood secret that, like, he's kind of a pain in the ass on some sets, and that's happening again.
Mm-hmm.
Production on the film Being Mortal has been halted after Bill Murray, who stars in the movie, who Aziz Ansari is directing, by the way, was accused of inappropriate behavior. According to the New York Post, he was touchy with women. He's very handsy.
Inappropriate behavior as of 2022.
Right.
When he was on the set of Ghostbusters in 1986,
thought, because I have other examples. Because that's what I thought. I was like, poor Bill Murray. But now it's like, oh, wait, other people are chiming in.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, someone even said, like, it's not illegal, but it's crossing a line. And you go, yeah, who cares? Well, the film, which is Aziz's directorial debut, suspended indefinitely in order to investigate the allegations. And then a lot of other articles started popping up. And here's just a couple examples. So Ben Dreyfuss, Richard Dreyfuss's son, did this long tweet thread about Murray's alleged behavior on the set when they were in a movie together. He says Bill Murray had a meltdown during What About Bob because he wanted an extra day off. And Laura, she's the producer. Yeah. Well, that's, I'm telling you, it goes back. Laura Ziskin, who is the producer who had her own Twitter thread about fights with Bill Murray, said no. And then he ripped her glasses off her face. And my dad complained about his behavior. And then Bill Murray threw an ashtray at him. And then in another tweet, he said everyone walked off the production and flew back to L.A. And it only resumed after Disney hired bodyguards to physically separate my dad and Bill Murray in between takes. And then Lucy Liu chimed in. Remember, everyone said, like, oh, she was a pain in the ass to work with.
Yeah.
And he only lasted one Charlie's Angels movie.
Right. And she chimed in back in, 2000 when they were in, Charlie's Angels together. Now, or I guess in the last year, she's opened up about how he would hurl insults at her while filming. And Drew Barrymore corroborated. And Lucy Liu was like, I don't even need your corroboration. Like, this is what happened. So, maybe mercurial on set? Mm.
Yeah, I think some people just interact differently. Like the guy in the flight with Mike Tyson.
Sure.
Not how we would have handled Mike Tyson, but that's how he handles it.
Yeah. in general.
They're guys. It's funny. I don't know. I always kind of picture Leno when I see him out there with the public. You know, he goes and he talks, you know, walk behind someone at the track who's holding a pizza box. And he came up and went, yeah, have a piece of pizza. And the person was like, what, huh? Oh, hey, it's Jay Leno. You know, some people get a little kick of – like how they – celebrities, I should say, like how they make other people feel or doing things. Some will go in and surprise someone and do something. So he's that guy. He's a little nutty too.
Yeah.
I think I don't know how much of it is a dominion. Like I'm going to sort of – I'm the big fish in this pond and I'm going to walk up to you and I'm going to kind of do what I want to do and there's not really anything you're going to do about it. I'm going to dominate you by being weird in a way that you can't really tell me to stop.
But it is weird because like isn't he sort of famous for like not having a way to reach him? Like he doesn't really have like a phone or like a phone number. Like he's kind of all over the map in terms of like eccentricity and he loves popping up in random people's like bar mitzvah pictures, but he like throws ashtrays at Richard Dreyfuss.
I think he's weird.
Yeah.
And eccentric, and then that could go a million different directions. Yeah. That means you could hang out, play the bongos in your apartment with you and your roommate in Austin for 4 hours, and it could be the best day of your life, or you could be ducking an ashtray that he's throwing at you. I think it's just called being weird.
Yeah. Do you guys see the Bill Murray stories?
Yes.
No.
Documentaries? Mm-hmm. I think I heard about it from you.
Yeah.
Because, it's just a collection of people telling like, yeah, here we were, my kids' Little League game, and Bill Murray just went to the dugout and started to coach. like stuff like that. Eccentric.
Yeah. I buy that. You just never really know what
eccentric
turn it's
gonna is stuff that. Eccentric is stuff that's cool if Bill Murray's doing it, but if just a total stranger does it,
intolerable.
It's off-putting, dangerous, and weird, right?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, we have a big follow-up. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago I told you that Red Bull was going to have those two dudes who were cousins fly a plane, jump out in the middle of it, switch planes, and then like take them up like, and everything's going to be okay?
Yeah, I realize if I tried that with one of my family members, at some point in the air, we'd notice that we're both heading toward the same plane.
Oh.
And I'd go, you said, no, read the text. You said we're going to switch plane. No, I told you I was going into the Cessna. We'd have a big argument and then we'd hit the ground.
That's right.
If I tried this with a family member, that's how it would work. What are you doing in the plane?
Stop yelling at me.
Through your voice.
I don't like your tone.
Well, it depends if you're, a glasses half empty, glasses half full kind of guy. It half worked.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So both pilots, cousins Luke Akins and Andy Farrington, engaged their plane's air brake system, then jumped out at 12,000 feet in the air. While Akins was able to get into the other plane, Farrington was not able to because the plane started spiraling out of control. And I'm going to show you. He deployed his parachute, safely landed.
Yeah.
The plane also had a parachute system.
Well, the real people that were in danger with the stunt was the large preschool on the ground, under.
They could have picked any location.
Any location.
And that's what they picked.
More than conceived.
Yes.
Yeah. So luckily, no one was injured. According to the FAA, the stunt was not authorized, and they are not happy. The agency is investigating. There's really no...
I don't know if there's any FAA official that's going to rubber stamp this. So let me hear what you're going. So you want to go to the back of your plane? No.
No.
I'm jumping out of my plane. All right. So you're parachuting. No.
I'm not supposed to.
Out of my plane. Well, then who's landing your plane? Oh, don't worry. My cousin's going to be by.
I got a guy.
My cousin, Bo.
Oh, is he a licensed aviator in the jump seat?
He's a kind of a catch-as-catch-can kind of. He likes Mountain Dew. And he's going to be jumping out of his plane. But the two planes are only going to be unpiloted for 40 seconds or so. And then we should be able to get, God willing, one of us, although he's not a pilot.
I'm almost certain this violates some regulation.
Let's go ahead and stamp this here. Yeah.
I'd like to see this.
I don't think they would rubber stamp
that. Well, this is about, I don't know, maybe a minute or so. I just wanted to get them sort of jumping out of their planes and then see what happens. Mm-hmm. So here we go.
Power
off. Down and confirm.
Mixture out. Diving.
They jump out.
Jump out.
It's a little hard to see.
I can... I can add a lot to this because I did that iFly thing under the fan with the guy hanging onto my waist while 3 feet off the ground. Yeah. So I can tell you right now, this is terminal velocity.
Oh, wow.
So they're flying down. The one guy...
not doing so good.
Gets into the plane down low. And the other one is spinning out of control. So... That one's not going to work. So he's just going to have to bail on that and pull the chute, right?
Yes. He got the other one.
Yeah.
Well, somebody did it.
Not bad.
Not bad.
He's pulling up the little latch. He's commanding control here. He's in the seat.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Now, they go after Red... are they going to go after, like, Red Bull or something and go, hey, man.
Well, if you're talking about empty bags or not, you'd have to go after Red Bull.
He sponsored this.
Yeah.
So, one guy made it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not nothing.
No. It's half
the other guy lived?
It's half of nothing. Yeah, or it's more than half of
nothing.
That's right. All right. But everyone lived.
Yeah.
And they did it out in the middle of bumfuck or whatever.
Yeah.
All right. All right, let's do one more because Mammoth's here.
Okay. Well, let's talk. I'm sorry to end on such a sad note, but we do have someone. We do hope that they rest in peace. Cynthia Plastercaster Albritton has died after a long illness. She was 74. The name suggests that she was the one who kind of invented that sort of infamous plaster casting in the 60s and 70s. She's from Chicago, and her whole career launched in 68 when she met Frank Zappa. He wouldn't let her do it to him, but he did sort of help her move to L.A. and always kind of stayed friendly with her.
She'd hang out with rock stars and get them to put their dick in plaster.
Their erect dick in plaster. Mm-hmm. And the first, any guess on the big first...
Jimi Hendrix.
That's right.
I was about to say Hendrix.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So the process incorporated a dental mold, you know, when you're getting like a retainer or something and they put that in your mouth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It solidifies around your tumescent penis and then it just kind of comes out when you're no longer tumescent. Mm-hmm. So pretty easy process. And she had an exhibition in New York.
They put that straw in there so you can breathe? I breathe through my cock.
Oh, well, yeah, you'd need to ask for something.
It's a silly straw.
That's right.
You know who else was pretty big about that same time? Tiny Tim. And
like tiptoe through the tulips?
Yeah, he's not really a small guy, so I don't know where you got the name Tiny, but maybe there was something there.
Well, Cynthia would know. Now, I know this song, but for you lay people who aren't as familiar with Kiss's catalog, perhaps you remember this ode to Cynthia Albritton herself. That's Gene Simmons. Stirring tribute.
Still better than Lick It Up.
That's right.
And then we could do my water displacement test with the mold.
Yep.
Oh, sure.
We get the graduated cylinder and see what dude rocks the hardest.
Yeah,
in
just
this
dip
town.
It in.
I'm told from Chris that we need ball pullers for Indianapolis. So
yeah,
if you have that info.
Email us questions@adamcarolla.com. In the subject line, just put ball puller for Indianapolis and we'll contact you.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, in the first half, there's J.B. Weld, world's strongest bond. The brand DIYers and pros have trusted for over 50 years. You can use their epoxies, their super glues, putty sticks, and wraps for projects big and small on practically any surface. And I'm talking about metal, wood, plastics, glass, ceramics, whatever you need to bond together. You keep it in your kitchen drawer, your toolbox, craft supplies, maybe in the garage. I have them at the shop. I have them in the garage. I have them in the tool drawer. I have them everywhere. Also, the proud owner of Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner. If you're looking for the world's strongest truck bed liner, Herculiner, well, they got you covered, man. JB Weld, it's available everywhere at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And it's proudly made in the U.S. of A. It is J.B. Weld. Well, playwright, author, filmmaker, an all-around interesting guy, David Mamet joins me next.
Stream the biggest movies and TV shows for free on Pluto TV. Watch movies like Titanic and G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra, plus TV shows like CSI and Star Trek The Next Generation. Starting this month, check out the 24/7 Stargate channel exclusively on Pluto TV, plus hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows absolutely free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start watching today.